at the back of the Bible called 1 Peter. And we're going to be reading from chapter 1, verses 13, just a few verses, verses 13 to 16. And this is what Peter wrote. He said, "So then, have your minds ready for action. Keep alert and set your hope completely on the blessing which has been given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Be obedient to God and do not allow your lives to be shaped by those desires you had when you were still ignorant. Instead, be holy in all that you do, just as God, who called you, is holy. The scripture says, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" Now, we've seen and heard the significance of Michelle's baptism, and for some of you here, this may be the first time that you have witnessed an adult baptism where someone has gone under the water in this way. And it may seem a bit strange, but after the songs and the prayers and food, what difference will it have made come Monday morning or Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning? Now, it's not some strange form of therapy for health and well-being. The latest fad to hit Roman Road is aquafit. And this is where garnerfish act as a foot spa and a pedicure. It's where a small member of the carp family, known also as Dr. Fish, eats your dead skin on your feet as a mini jet jacuzzi. And if you feel you're really interested in this, I've got a 10% But what this marks, this baptism, is a spiritual, social, and emotional reality. It's a sea change of life that is a life that is forever changed. It is possible to slip back, but it is not possible to go back. Michelle, like many others, has embraced both an adventure and a journey of discovery. And it begins by tasting freedom. Often our lives, however young or mobile or healthy or not, we may be old and crinkly, we are still bound by insecurities, histories, hurts, ignorance, and fear. And even when we think we are living the dream, God made human beings to only find their true humanity when they find their home with God. We have the power to choose whether we are at home with God or not. Because of the damage that sin has done to us, it has ruined any kind of real relationship to God, and in a sense, we are imprisoned in bungalows. What on earth is that about? Well, these are dwellings where there are no upstairs, no real access to the divine or the possibility of a lasting hope, reconciliation, and forgiveness. And God has dealt with that through the cross by taking the initiative, as we heard in Michelle's story, and by dealing with the hurt and rejection caused by sin, and taking the exclusion and the rightful demands of justice for our wrongdoings, which put us away from God, by paying the price for this himself. Now, we think Peter, when he wrote this letter, may have been writing from Rome. But he tells us he is writing to the early Christian church, which was scattered through Asia Minor, what we now call Turkey. And he writes in verse 18, "For you know what was paid to set you free from the worthless manner of life handed down by your ancestors. It was not something that can be destroyed, such as silver and gold. It was a costly sacrifice of Christ. Through him, to me, believe in God, who raised him from death and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are fixed in God. Faith is spelt R-I-S-K, risk. It is risking the fact of trusting and relying on God and what he has done, and what he has prepared for us to find the way home. Now, to a degree, you can demonstrate some proof. It is not blind faith. It's not a leap in the dark, because of the witness and testimony like Michelle's we've just heard, whose life has been radically changed. And also the explanation in the words of the Bible as to what it has to say about our condition and the character of God. Yet it does need a step of faith, a letting go of what we know or think we know to embrace a deeper truth. Monkey business. One way of tracking monkeys is for the hunter to use a tied, hollowed out gourd with a hole. Now, doing a bit of research on the internet, can you trust it, I wonder? Anyway, there is the South Asian monkey trap, which is allegedly used in Burma and India. And it's used to catch single monkeys, which are then sometimes trained and used by street sellers. Now, some say use a banana, others a date, others a nut. What happens is that the monkey investigates the gourd and reaches through the hole to grab the fruit. Unfortunately for them, as their little hands clutch the fruit, the hole is now too small with which to withdraw their hand. And the only way they can do so is by releasing the bait. This, however, is a very tasty bit of food, so the thought of losing it is hard to stomach. So much so that even when the hunter returns, the monkey refuses to let go of the food and therefore cannot run away and is caught. Now, curiously, even when we are running away from facing these big questions, we are still, like the monkey, grasping hold of the bait, doing things the way we think best. We are not free. We may not be physically trapped by this monkey, but we are nonetheless not free. And some of these lack of freedoms are described a bit later by Peter. And he says, all evil, such as lying, hypocrisy, jealousy, insulting language, are evidences of the fact that we are not free. And these are just some of them. You yourselves know many others. But today is a day of rejoicing and thanksgiving, so I don't want to necessarily dwell on these things. We are, in fact, marking a new birth. Peter, in verse 23, comments, "For through the living and eternal word of God, you have been born again, as children of a parent who is immortal, not mortal." So it is life we celebrate today. New life. Life as God intended. Life that is free. Now, when a baby is born, they have everything they will need and in place to grow and develop into a mature human being. When we embrace what God is offering us, it is out of love. And if we trust him enough to take the risk of accepting what he offers, he breaks the powers that bind us. We take a gasp of air, breathing the oxygen of a new way of living. From day one, God gives us everything we can possibly live to live this new life. But like any new child, it takes time to mature and develop to make their own contribution. The parental love of God is assured and constant, but development and maturity takes time, effort, and our cooperation. And that is why I have called this short talk, The Day After Tomorrow. It's not so much a homage to the disaster movie of the same name, which was about climate change, but because what follows from this day and the next and beyond adds to the significance, importance and power of this new life. Peter uses words that to modern ears and old living do not sound terribly liberating. So, in 1 Peter verses, chapter 1 verse 14, he says, "Be obedient to God. Do not allow your lives to be shaped by those desires you once had when you were still ignorant." He goes on to say, "So then spend the rest of your life here on earth in reverence for him. And then rid yourselves then of all evil." Obedience, reverence, ridding your lives of former desires, some of which you actually probably quite enjoyed, even if they didn't do you much good. Is this new life all about stopping, preventing, disapproving, ignoring, subservience and control? No. I don't think it is. It is more about now having the space, courage and possibility of embracing life that is better. A life that is built on a newly encountered confidence discovered by experiencing God's love. Life that is based on trust and faith rooted in relationship. Most children thrive better in loving homes. The Father Heart of God is the best paternal care. It is immortal, not mortal. Yet it is also not automatic. It requires effort and strength and purpose and focus from us. Yet God does not leave us to do this on our own, but he gives us the Holy Spirit, who assures us that we are not orphans but part of God's family, and gives us the inner strength, motivation and power to live differently. Our affections and desires are changed from the inside to follow and to commit our lives to be more like Jesus. And it is written on our hearts to be faithful. We want to do it more than we have to do it. Which is why Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, "Be holy because I am holy." It is a quote from the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament, where the word holy appears more than any other book in the Bible. It carries the idea of being consecrated. And this original case, it was a whole new people devoted to being ready, available, and capable of divine use because they were God's people. Demonstrated not just by what they believed, but how they lived and continue to live. Lives that were ambassadors reflecting the realities of the citizenship of who they belong to. For us, God has made this deeper. To be the people of God is not a geopolitical place that you find on the map, but it is our individual and shared lives together which enables God to work in us and with us and through us, just as God has set himself and consecrated himself, if you like, to reach into our world. And he wants and expects us to do the same with him. Now in this building, we have Slim as well. Next year we have the Olympics coming to our borough. And what both athletes and swimmers have in common is diet, discipline, and exercise. Now, I know this varies greatly in intensity and depth in its form of training expectation. They share a hope that they will reach their optimum weight and also complete successfully what they intended to do. They don't do it alone. They encourage one another. They are accountable. They have experts, coaches, and mentors to help them. So Peter writes, "So then, have your minds ready for action." Now this translation hides what the Greek is talking about. It actually carries the image of running. clothing then, as now in older parts of the Middle East, usually consists of very long robes. So if you don't want to go base over apex, you gather your robes up to free your legs to run. It then follows with what is translated here as keep alert. But this is better rendered, be sober. That's not so much keep off the booze, but be focused, alert, and ready to go. So in the day after tomorrow, Michelle and the rest of us who have embraced this new life are in the process of growing up to be more like Jesus. It requires readiness, discipline, training, focus, and struggle. We are God's grand design. And if you know the TV program, which is being endlessly repeated on War 4, you will know that there are setbacks, disasters, long hours, frustration and disappointment along the way. It is not easy, but it is worth it. It is not the house as property, it is building our home. Knowing we have come home and God is at home with us, and we are at home with God. And lastly, as we grow up, we are able to embrace and produce and create new ways of living differently. Peter lists some of them in chapter 4. He writes, above everything, love one another earnestly, because love covers many sins. Open your homes to each other without complaining. Each one, as a good manager of God's different gifts, must use them for the good of others. New living. Love, hospitality, and service. And we may have enjoyed doing wrong before, but now we increasingly delight in doing what is right. Obedience to who God is calling us to be is not a restriction, it is a freedom. It is not just pointless to reoffend, it's the fact that we don't want to reoffend. Because the way of death that was our old way of living being swallowed up by life. So the day after tomorrow, be holy, because I am holy. For as Jesus himself said, if the Son sets you free, then you will be really free.